We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, November 11th, Veterans Day. A very happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans, including Roy May on this podcast. I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
And I am Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie, crusty old veteran, class of 15. On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918, the guns of World War I fell silent. Initially called Armistice Day, it is Veterans Day. I cannot begin to thank all of the veterans for their service, whether they served 3 years or 33 years or anywhere in between. Thank you so much for everything that you've done, because the sacrifice, no matter how small some people may try to look at it, you served our country. And to that, I am eternally grateful for my brothers and sisters in arms. And so it's a special day for me because I get to be a veteran. I don't do like all the free food things. Like they exist and I love them, and I love that there are businesses that do that. I can't thank you enough to choosing, because this is not a conscription country. You choose to serve in the military. Therefore, you have chosen to represent something so much bigger than yourself. Even if just for 3 or 4 years, you have made a decision. And so thank you very much, veterans. Veterans Day. Most of us veterans are like, let's drink beer. I even wear my old PT shirt. So I will say, yesterday I went to the, so it was the 250th birthday of the Marine Corps.
Big one.
Yes. And the local Marine Corps League, Brazos Valley Marine Corps League, along with the Bryan VFW, and then it was really fun. It was really great. The Naval ROTC commander, who's a colonel, Marine Corps colonel running NROTC, was a keynote speaker. He was fantastic. Belated birthday to the Marine Corps. And happy Veterans Day. Get an Uber. That's all I'll say.
Yes. Yeah, be smart out there.
These patriotic holidays are what they are. All right. We don't want thanks. We just want to be degenerates. And sometimes we're degenerates. So, you know, that's fine. Enjoy your evening. Just be safe. Yeah. But it's Veterans Day. And so thank you to all the veterans out there. Our freedom relies on voluntarily joining the military. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in that.
Absolutely.
So that said, I didn't want to be like somber, all serious. Because
it's all good.
Normally, I'm like the old guy yelling at clouds. But the truth is, we truly rely on our freedoms rely on those who are willing to protect them. And so it's one of my. There are five holidays, right? Memorial Day, July 4th, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And if you celebrate Halloween, whatever, but it has nothing to do with kind of anything other than you just really liking Halloween, which is fine. That's fine. But there are three specific to America and veterans. And then there is one that is very specific to Jesus Christ. So outside of that, the rest of them are a ton of fun.
Oh yeah.
But I am who I am. I don't apologize for it. I'm proud to be an Army veteran. I actually texted my sister and my dad earlier today. I think the older I get, the more I realize how much it was an honor to serve.
Yeah.
Or that's just like waking up every day and my back and knees are like, hey, remember being in the Army? I'm like, yep, got it.
The memories coming back. Yeah. I do want to say on my own end, yes, very special thank you to our veterans, of course. Had plenty in my family, direct relatives, both of my grandfathers, great grandfathers. In fact, my dad, excuse me, yeah, my dad's dad. Well, let's see. Granddaddy Jeff, who is my grandmother's father, he was Army Air Corps back in World War II, and he was flying those fueling planes over there for the planes that would come up and get refueled. That's what he was doing at that point. So, very special time of the year, of course, for all those folks. And
Well,
we've just,
and I think it's one of those things where, like, we're heading into the holidays, we're thinking about
yeah.
turkey, we're thinking about Christmas gifts, and this is the one day where I think it's important to be like, you know what? I haven't bought the turkey yet, and you shouldn't, by the way, from a cooking guy.
Yeah.
Don't buy it now unless you just want to keep it frozen. But it's one of those days where before the, and I sent an email out to my entire client base sphere, blah 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 blah. I was like, hey, let's just remember before we get into the travel and the craziness of the holidays, it's important to remember Memorial Day, Veterans Day, July 4th, we are the most patriotic we ever are. And I implore you to be as patriotic tomorrow as you are today. I implore you to thank veterans tomorrow as much as you did today. And so, and again, I'm not trying to get super deep on any of this stuff, but because again, we don't do politics on this show,
No, we
right?
didn't.
No, but what we do is respect those, veterans. And while Veterans Day isn't their spot, we respect our first responders. It's a day to give thanks to those who have sacrificed. And so I'm a huge fan of Veterans Day. I love it. Memorial Day, I cry like a baby generally once or twice between, in an 8 to 10 hour span. But Veterans Day is to truly give thanks to all those who served in the military. And no offense, it's not a first responder thing. It's Veterans Day. It specifically, in fact, it was Armistice Day before we realized there was going to be another huge war. And so it's important just to know, understand that we currently live in a world where anybody in the military raised their right hand to be in the military. They didn't have a number called, they weren't drafted. It's a voluntary military, and to be the person to step up and look, I'm Army as long as it goes, right? All right, look, 82nd Airborne, Tomb Guard, let's effing go. But I went to the Marine Corps birthday celebration of the VFW on Monday, and it's just an esprit de corps. And I was there, and they were like, "Oh, you're not a Marine." I was like, "Yeah, but I'm here to celebrate the fact that the Marine Corps is here." From Un Tavern to now. So it's been a very special, probably 30 hours, maybe be a good way to put it, because I respect all my brothers and sisters that served in the Marine Corps. I was Army. It's okay for me to be Army. And it's a fun dynamic, actually, because the Marine Corps is like, well, every Marine is a rifleman first, which I love. There are two great things about the Marine Corps. One, they're emphatic about being Marines. That's kind of out of a Few Good Men, but it's true. Marines are emphatic about being Marines. And then two, Marines are riflemen first. It doesn't matter their job. You could literally be a person that just makes copies of papers 8 hours a day. You do PT, you make copies, and that's it. But you're a rifleman first. And so I've always admired the Marine Corps from a distance. And so and that's why I'm a big fan of having been able to be there. The Marine Corps League did a great job. It was great. The commander of the Naval ROTC at Texas A&M, full bird Marine colonel, which, by the way, that's kind of bonkers. For those that you don't like, for those of you that don't know, it's way harder to gain rank in the Marine Corps because they're small. Like, there's a lot more colonel slots in the Army.
Oh,
And
naturally.
I'm not banging on the Army. Good Lord, I'm a retired Army veteran. But the reality is, to get to colonel and take over this space that he's done, And his remarks were outstanding. We had plenty of young Marines barking that in the background, in between chewing on crayons.
As they
But
do.
it's, well, everybody has their favorite flavor,
Yeah.
or at least every Marine does.
Oh,
But
yeah, I know at least a couple guys are a big fan of the purple, but you know, that's their
yeah,
go-to. That's their go-to.
yep. But jokes aside, happy belated birthday, Marine Corps. Happy Veterans Day. If you do anything today, whether it's a text or a call or a message, thank a veteran, not me, not me, some other veteran you know in your life. Because it actually it means more than you know.
Yeah.
It's the simplicity of appreciation. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely good. Great words from the great Roy May to kick off this great podcast that we're getting on.
We do have to get into football at some point, right?
Ideally, we will get into some football and
And
it can.
if you ever want to see one of the most intense, like, sorry for the language, shit shows, get a bunch of veterans that all support one sports team in one room, not in a bar.
In a
That
room.
that's a bad equation. That
Yeah.
math does, trust me, it never checks.
Yeah.
But in a house, like a dude hosts a party for all his veteran buddies. And we're gonna watch this game, and we're all gonna root for everybody, even though you're the only veteran that roots for Texas A&M, but
Right.
everybody else hates everybody else, so we're good.
Right.
You ever want the intensity of a sports game watching party? Holy frijoles.
I can imagine that gets a little wild. I can
All right.
imagine.
All right, you know what, Rob? Light me up. Let's go.
Oh, there was a lot of lighting up going on in Columbia, Missouri this weekend. That's about all I know for sure, man.
Boy, and we won't spend too much time on it because obviously I think we all know.
The result speaks for itself. What have we said about every single one of these road games? Yes, yeah, we talked about this entire stretch, Arkansas, LSU, Missouri. We, myself included, many of us were like 2-1 in this stretch, and we're good. And that was like preseason and even coming
Wrong,
into this.
calling you out. Wrong, calling you out.
What are you calling me out?
You said loss against Arkansas, loss against LSU. You went 1-2 preseason.
Yeah, and then we made the readjustment. Didn't we? Didn't
Readjustment
we?
don't matter. You gotta have the faith, brother.
Well, too bad. I didn't have a faith in this team. Why would I? We were
Got
eight
to
and
have the faith,
four.
the
No,
faith,
we
the
are
faith.
eight.
You
Time
gotta
out.
have faith, the faith, the faith. Oh no, that's a Kirby Smart timeout.
Shut your whore mouth and listen to what I have to say. You heard
Oh,
me.
come on, George
Let
Michael.
me say what I gotta say. Texas 8-4. That's who we are. That's what we're established. That was the predetermined outcome of who Texas A&M football has been since as long as I can remember being a fan of this team.
And you went 5-3 in conference, so that was 8-4, 5-3.
Right. Okay. They have broken that at this stage. They have cleared the doubt on that front for me, especially in terms of that road trip. You have gone in there, and not only did you win, you had a tight game against Arkansas, tight game, which then turned into you taking care of your business against LSU, getting that bye week, and then business trip into Columbia, Missouri, and you did not stop. I think the thing that resonated so much with me about this game was the fact that these guys didn't take their foot off of the gas pedal even late. They were still trying to drive in, get scores, be aggressive. Those are the type of teams that are going to go the distance. That's the type of things you need to see out of teams if they're going to go the distance.
Well, here's a fun counterpoint. So, looking at this three-game road stretch, right? So,
Sure.
three games over 4 weeks. I will every time loved where the bye week came.
Oh, yeah.
And I think initially before the season, I'm like, oh, I don't like that bye week. I really did. So, preseason, if I had told you we were going to go 2-1, would you have taken it? Doesn't
Yeah.
matter how that works out. It's
Yeah.
between 2-3.
Yeah. I mean, on a 3-game road stretch where two of those games are going to be ranked opponents and the other one ends up being one of the better offensive teams, not just in the conference, but the nation. If you go 2-1 in that stretch, I'm not complaining about it.
Right. Okay. So we're not complaining about it. And we talked about this last week
I find it acceptable.
on the fan show. We talked about this, and he made a really, and Brownie made a really good point. Since we won the first two, is 2-1 acceptable?
Right. That's a good question, especially coming off of the bye week, right? I mean, this was to many a very trendy pick for an upset coming into the game, right? I mean, a lot of people were talking about it. Obviously, the experts on ESPN and the people that everybody actually pays attention to largely all said A&M's going to win this game. It just might be tighter than we would like it to be. And it certainly wasn't even that.
Well, and that's the funny part is leading into game day picks or SEC picks, like
Right.
SEC, like wherever you watch. And I watch game day for an hour and then I flip over to SEC Nation and I find myself flipping back and forth because I'm like, I don't care about a Rutgers game.
Right.
It's funny because leading into this weekend, everybody's like, upset alert, right? Texas A&M, upset alert. It's a
Well,
trap game. It's an upset. and then I think you and I talked about this last week. I thought it was gonna be a 30-10, 30-10 kind of game, and it's
yeah.
and we could have gone north of 40.
Well, and
Elko is just a nice guy.
well, whenever we came around, Ghost of Texas Football made a post. Because he was going to give away some tickets, and he said, "Predict the."
Hold on. He's a great follow, even
He
though
is.
he's, by the way, if you are an Aggie and you are on X slash Twitter and you're not following Ghost of Texas Football, you absolutely should. He's a totally normal human being and hilarious.
Oh yeah, no, good people, as we like to say. He's good people.
We might have to tag him when we upload this, be like, hey, look, we're trying to be nice.
Yeah, we're being nice. Of course, we're being nice. He's good
For
people.
now.
We like him.
For now.
One thing I will say that was funny was he posts out and says, "We're gonna give away some South Carolina tickets. Make your score predictions." I said 38-24 A&M. I was pretty damn close. The problem being, I had a little too much faith in Missouri, as it turns out.
And that's a crazy thing. So we look back at the game. So we'll just kind of shift into this right now. We'll get these scores out of the way, or
Oh, yeah.
the games we're gonna pick later. We'll get those out of the way. Dude, we had honestly we had a terrible first half, and what's crazy,
Ironically,
we had a terrible first half and scored a lot of points.
yeah, you score 14 and you pitch a shutout in the first half. You're a little slow. The thing that we've seen from this A&M team over the course of the last several weeks has absolutely worked out. The difference was defense did their job, kept them off of the scoreboard, not for lack of trying on Missouri's part, but also ironic. I mean, you get the situation where they miss the field goal and then offside call. It was a good call. They opt to go for it on fourth down. They don't get it because we sent an all-out blitz at this poor quarterback, and we'll get into him in a minute. But you create the chaos that we asked for, right? That was the big talking point last week.
And early.
Yeah, early and often, get after the guy, create chaos, and guess what you did? You created chaos. You caused two forced fumbles, one of which damn near went back for a touchdown. Dalton Brooks.
You know what? Hey, quick aside, props to that Missouri player to follow it all the way through,
Yeah, the tight
even
end.
like scoring. That's the kind of like I want that kid at Texas A&M. That's the kind of effort I like. Because you could have just let him roll.
But he went for it. And
You
he caused a stop.
could have, yeah. And he kept up and he tackled. And even though you tackled him, what went out, Dalton Brooks went out like the two. The reality is, you never know. Maybe we fumble a snap. Maybe we throw a pick. Maybe we miss a field goal. So that effort right there, I'll give absolute props to that Missouri player because that's what you have to do. Okay. Sorry. Had to.
No, he was great. But
Big thing.
a big thank you to him because of that situation, EJ Smith finally got his touchdown.
About effing time.
About time. And I'm so thrilled for him. I'm thrilled for Reuben Owens. I mean, what an absolute killer performance. Yeah, 102 yards rushing, had two touchdowns, along a 57, kicked butt. I mean, ooh.
Call on me, my hands raised.
Yes, Mr. May, what do you get?
Here's a fun little statistic. Do you know the all-time one-game rushing record for Texas A&M football, and you know who and when it happened?
I don't.
I just saw this before I came on. First of all, I'm going to give you the number, and 297 yards. Bob Smith, 1970 at SMU, 297 yards. So Texas A&M football, social media, if you haven't seen it, they interview all the running backs and everybody's like, shit, I don't know. But think about it. So we'll go recent. Achan.
A chain.
Right. But I'm gonna go back to Greg Hill, Rodney Thomas, Dante Hall. Think about some of the running backs that we've actually had in this program.
We've had some good ones. We've had some
Cyrus
bad.
Gray.
Cyrus Gray was one I immediately popped in my head because that was my freshman year. I think he was a sophomore or junior.
Yeah, J Train.
J Train.
And none of them have it eclipsed 297 yards on the ground by yourself.
It's
I
pretty good.
haven't driven that far in the last 2 days.
Nice.
So it's just. Yeah, that was just a fun little kind of caveat. But the reality is Reuben Owens has a great game.
He
We
did.
had 23 yards rushing at halftime. And then all of a sudden, we go for two Bills plus. Now, Missouri has two 100-plus rushes. They're rushing running backs. They go plus 100. But outside of two runs, they did nothing.
The thing I found really interesting, speaking of statistics, somebody pulled up the top 10 leading rushers in the SEC. Did you know that Texas A&M does not have a top 10 rusher in the SEC this year?
That would not shock me whatsoever.
We are running back by committee around this place, and I think the thing that really works is that you have such a dynamic and interesting running attack by throwing all these different looks, and you're still getting damn near 250 yards rushing in a game. But you
Well,
have one,
I
two,
want you to look
three,
this up.
four,
I want
five,
you to look
six,
this up real quick, and
seven
I'll
rushers.
yeah, and I'll blab while you look this up. Where are we in rushing offense within the conference? Because the reality is, not only do you have, even though he's out, at one point Moss was running, you have Reuben Owens, you have E.J. Smith, you have Jamorian Morrow, and then you also have, oops, Marshall Reed, who I feel like, and a buddy of mine that saw by earlier, Ryan, we talked about it. It's almost like we're forcing Marshall Reed to stay in the pocket, which is weird, in the sense that you want to use his legs. But the reality is, if we can produce like this with him in the pocket, like stay in the pocket, no running, no running, boo, boo running. Like if we can do that and we still produce that, like, dude, we had 223 yards in the second half. And I'm going to run this all the way back. I'll go full circle. Holy Tommy Moffett. Like there comes a point where you have to, like, Cushing is doing an amazing job. The fact that we have an offensive line that rotates seven players regularly just kind of seems for no reason other than matchup, and no defenses can seem to figure out while we're rotating who into what spot. And then you go back and realize that the reason we wear down people is because of Tommy Moffett. Like, I'm not trying to sell my house here, but somebody's got to give this dude a raise.
Well, he needs to be protected at all costs. I mean, there's a reason LSU football was what they were for as long as they were, and Tommy Offutt was a big part of that. So, any and all money you can throw at him to keep him around, I'm about it. Looking at the stats here, go
He's
ahead.
made it very clear that he'd go back. Like, he's kind of made, like, not well, not very clear, but it's very clear if you pay attention. He would absolutely go back to LSU if Mama comes calling home, right? Like Bear Bryant and Bama. So give him a reason to, like, ship in Bo Dan balls.
Yeah, keep him around. So looking at the rushing stats, this is very interesting to me. Once again, I said A&M does not have a top 10 rusher. We have Reuben Owens is number 11, but you don't have a top 10 rusher in the SEC for A&M. However, if you look at the conferences, and this is just showing overall on the page I found, but number 8 in the nation, the first SEC team on the list is Missouri. Over 2,000 rushing yards on the season. Then the next closest in the conference is Arkansas with 1879. We are third at 1844. We're the third highest rushing team in the SEC without a top 10 rusher.
Seems good.
Seems very good. And I think the thing that will continue to be really interesting to me, in addition to the rushing attack, was the argument throughout the week that the way you beat A&M is you make Marcel Reed play quarterback. Well, congratulations. He played quarterback and threw 20 for 29 for 221 yards, averaging 7.6 yards a pass with two touchdowns, no picks. Get bent.
Well, and my thing is, and again, going back to Ryan, and so my buddy Ryan, he knows ball, right? Like, and he goes back and watches the, all the highlights and the play by play, like the no huddle kind of stuff. What we've done, okay, let me start here. In what way can we not win a football game? Like, think back of all the ways we've won a football game and tell me, I mean, is there anything at this point that we've exhibited? This is nine games in, right? And this is offense, defense, special teams, some good, some bad, some awful, some great. And then you go back to the Kansas State game, or Kansas State, sorry, think about Colin Klein. You go to the Missouri game and you realize we pulled a straight up Sarkisian Quinn Ewers slash arch and we just threw it in the flats and saw what happened. And we haven't seen that before. The simplicity of that play calling, letting our playmakers get in space and trusting our offensive linemen. And I think that's a big, and we're going to get into this later, but I'm going to drop a little dime on this one right quick. That's why Texas isn't very good right now, because their offensive line sucks.
Something that really resonated with me in this game was one play in particular that really had me smiling. Third down, first drive of the third quarter. We're sitting right around midfield. We're sitting maybe 5 yards deep, maybe 6 yards deep from getting a first down. We see a look. What does Marcel Reed do? He audibles out of that, goes back to the shotgun, throw off into the flat, a little screen past Concepcion. With that read of the defense, cuts up field, gone.
House, house, absolutely
House
hustle.
call.
And
21-0, and that score won us the game.
so I was talking to well, I'll go back to Ryan. We talk a lot of football, by the way. His name is actually Ryan. I will not give you his last name for doxing purposes. Not that anybody would dox a dude that knows football. But you go back and look at like these side swing passes, right? And this is, and again, it's, and no, I'm not talking crap about the Sips at all. They did it last year to a T. They're doing it well this year, but we don't have to do that to disguise our offensive linemen. Like, you have Trey Zune out there front blocking on a screen. So you get the ball out in space to playmakers. That's like the most cliche crap ever, right? Get your ball to your playmakers in space. But we have playmakers now.
And they're doing it,
And
and it's working.
to watch the really, I don't know if it's called transition or morph or just completely decide to do something different. The way Colin Klein called that game was exactly how it needed to be called.
I agree. Something to keep in mind, I find a really cool stat. Did you A&M is averaging over 40 yards a game on the road in the SEC and across the whole season, because you scored 41 at Notre Dame, you scored 45 at Arkansas, 49 at LSU, 38 at Missouri, and you probably could have scored again there at the end of the game had you just been merciful and kicked the field goal. It'd have been 41-17.
No, okay. I've got mixed emotions on that in the sense that style points kind of do matter because most voters don't watch games. But at the same time, that's what you do. Eli Drinkwitz is a class coach. Mike Elko
He
is a
is.
class coach. You don't do that. Like, you just don't do that.
No.
It's gonna be a lot of people that disagree with me when I say that. But like,
The
my biggest thought is, have you seen this stat about yards before contact relative to yards after contact? So it's one of these, like, I think it's, we have more yards before contact than a ton of teams have after contact. So our offensive line is It's like Moses, if Moses used all five fingers, right? From tackle to tackle, Moses is just parting the Red Sea. And I think when you saw that Reuben Owens run where Thor kicked out the, I would guess the tackle, and he found that gap. It's fascinating to see because Marcel Reed is not great on the deep ball. I think that's a fair statement. I think he would probably admit to it.
And we've
But he
seen it.
goes in, but he goes in spurts when he's really good, and then he goes in spurts when he's like, bleh. The deep out, he excels at, right? And I talked about that. He excels at the deep out. He can deliver the ball. It's the air and timing on like the hyper deep balls. But man, look at this offense. We can beat you throwing. We can beat you running. We can beat you with a mobile quarterback. We can beat you by suffocating on defense. Oh, and by the way, we haven't even gotten into special teams, that liability.
I love the fact that Mizzou goes and scores their first touchdown in the second half. And they have an opportunity on a momentum play. You get the first three and out of the game,
Big time.
and you don't let them have it. A perfectly designed fake that they completely didn't. I mean, they bit on hard. I mean, he gets 48. What was it? Was he at
Yeah,
48 yards?
Dalton Brooks runs around the end. The best part is, and I've been laughing about this because they've actually, like, this was asked. I don't know if you watched the post game press conference. Dalton Brooks, he was a two-way player in high school, so he played running back. And he always like talks crap about how good of a running back he is. But Elko's like, yeah, but you're going to play defense. That dude had 78 yards of what we'll call offense on the ground on two carries. And so they were asking the running backs, they're like, yeah, we're going to hear about it for weeks.
And what all you have done now is added an extra wrinkle into what this Texas A&M football team can do. The beauty of this team is that they continue to find themselves week over week and learn new things. I mean, we saw throughout, early on in the season with your UTSA game, your Utah State game, very, very similar games in terms of points scored plus points given up. Everybody's like, okay, you're winning by 20 plus against these teams. Show me something against Notre Dame. You get into an absolute dogfight on the road with them and you find a way to win that game. You get into a defensive slug with Auburn, you find a way to win that game. Offense was just not happening that day. You got to figure it out. Offense figures out their stuff for State, Florida, Arkansas, LSU, Missouri. They have been extremely consistent offensively as
No, that
far.
can't be right. You said Florida. Florida beat somebody. Can't remember who it is.
I don't know. I mean, even before they fired their coach, I don't know who the heck that was. But
Judicious coaching carousel is.
it's
I'm
more
a firm.
bonkers.
We talked about it last week. There are probably teams that are going to say, you know what, we're going to hold on to him one more year because this is bonkers.
They're going to have to because there's going to be way too many moving parts.
Do we need to even get into the Brian Kelly State of Louisiana crap?
We touched on that a little bit last week.
Can't stand the dude. I hope he gets every penny he's owed.
It's funny because you had Josh Pate the previous week talking about how big and huge and awesome the LSU job is. And now, if I am a prime head coach looking at that program and seeing all the hoopla going on around it, why would you want to touch it with a 40-foot pole?
Like it's bad enough if your chancellor's a dick, but you're dealing with the governor. I would like to go back though real quick.
Imagine for a hot minute if Hot Wheels, a Texas grad, was a part of our coaching search. That's all I'm gonna say. That nobody would come anywhere close to A&M.
Mojombo, not so much.
No.
I do want to go back to a point, and if you don't live locally, then you might listen, and you should listen, by the way. But the Louie Belina show. So Louie Belina made a point that I thought was, and he kind of made it in passing, which was crazy to me because I thought it was a really imperative point. So we've had some issues with like punt coverage, like slash stopping from punt block, right? Was that fake punt just about making the yardage, or was it making teams realize that you can't go all out against the punter? So there's all of a sudden you put a little bit of like a little bit of thought in your brain, you're like, man, we can't go after the punt because what if they fake it? So I thought
Now,
that was a fantastic point that Louis made.
mean, we've
Man,
had two blocked punts this season already.
two, and people that don't know ball be like, that's only two punts. Bro, you shouldn't have a punt blocked in any season. So to have two, one of which it resulted in a safety,
About to say
is it?
9 points, 9 points off of those kicks.
Yeah, and
Good Lord.
so the like showing people that they're willing to fake the punt, all of a sudden you can't go after the punter as much. So I thought that was interesting point that Louis made. I think it makes sense. It wasn't just because of the situation where we were momentum wise, because Elko said it was like, yeah, momentum was going, a different way. But I think it's important to understand that that actually makes a lot of sense. All of a sudden, you can't just go after our punter. It's like having a quarterback with no running game, right? Like you can tee off on the quarterback and you can blow the box and just go after the guy. But all of a sudden, if we pop a run or a screen, you have to sit back a little bit. So I thought that was a really great point by Louis, just relative to, okay, maybe we don't try and kill the punter this time and we just play coverage because our coverage has been good. Our punt blocking coverage has been, and again, I know this is ticky tack and a good team. You have to pick the tiny little moments you're complaining about. But man, two punt blocks for 9 points in a season, it's a bigger deal than a lot of people like to talk about because. Like you block one punt, then teams are like, maybe I can block another one. You got two punts blocked, and teams are like, dude, we got to go after this guy. Just don't kill him.
All excellent points there. But the important thing is we're sitting here at 9-0. No 8-4 to be had. 10-0 is next. Double
Can't
digits.
be. It legitimately can't be.
Yeah, cannot be. As I loved watching SEC shorts this week because the whole idea was like, hey, I mean, you literally can't go 8-4. Yeah, but you know. It was worth a shot, and he walks out. I was like, what did you do to him? Generational trauma.
That dude, that when she said generational trauma, because they brought BAS in, I'm like, come on. And as soon as she said that, just absolute nails.
Oh,
SEC
perfect
sports.
hire, perfect characterization. I'm glad, and I still need this love triangle to continue. I need hope. Where is she? Come back.
Well,
I need her. I need hope. Hope is good.
you know what's really funny? I don't think it's hope anymore. Let me say something that is going to scare a lot of Aggies. It's expectation.
Expectation,
I
yes.
think it truly is. You look at like honestly a bad South Carolina team, even though Lenore Sellers is what he is. This is like revenge tour, right? After what happened last year.
Oh, yeah,
A
for
bad
sure.
South Carolina team that, by the way, I think the get-in resale price is like 250 to sit in the, like sit closer to God than a Kyle Field, pretty much.
At an 11 o'clock game, no less.
Dude, we've been starved. We've been starved for football. The 12th man has just been like working extra hours, actually going to tutoring. GPA is probably up over the last month for
You would
students.
just.
So yeah, just front load that GPA. It's like bonfire. Front load the GPA because it's about to get bad. But the reality is, this game is going to be insane. Like absolutely insane environment. Insane environment. It would not shock me for Samford to be 107 or 108,000.
Already bought tickets.
Yeah.
I'm off that week.
And then you go to the Devil's Capital.
Yeah.
So it's this for everybody out there with BAS. I get it, man. Bro, I absolutely get BAS. I do. Like, it's tough. It's been tough. And we've always kind of like the 8-4 thing, right? Like, the mean. The
The
mean.
mean.
But if you can't enjoy this, what are you doing, man?
I'll tell you what, I really started enjoying this after we got through the Arkansas game. I was enjoying the wins, but coming into that road stretch, I knew that that's where the rubber was going to meet the road for this football team. And largely, they passed with flying colors. You have, in every sense of the word. You've improved week over week. You've found new, fun, exciting ways to win football games. And
That more than anything else.
yeah, it's incredible. You can't sit back and not enjoy watching this football team play football. They find ways to win. They have so much fun while they're doing it. The fans are into it. Everybody is very locked in right now. And I don't think that changes this week coming back home. If we've learned anything about this football team, especially after that LSU game, nothing is going to resonate with me more than watching the very end of the LSU game on the Pulse when they came out and said, "Hey, you're sitting at 8-0. We still haven't done anything. We haven't done shit. This is time now. If you want to cement your legacy at Texas A&M, you want to submit yourself as one of the great football teams of all time at this school, potentially one of the better teams all time ever. What do you have to do? You got to go out there and you got to win your games. It does not matter that everybody's sitting back and going, 'Yeah, well, look who you beat.' I'm like, yeah, but this is the exact same schedule last year that led to us finishing in the typical 8-4. Yeah, I understand we've seen a lot of firings. We've been a part of those firings. Hate to break it
We
to people.
fired Stoops before he got hired.
Yeah, we fired Stoops before we got hired. We got Brian Kelly fired. You were part of Billy Napier getting fired. You were part of, et cetera. I mean, you were a part of this action throughout the course of this season. And don't let a single person tell you otherwise. A&M is doing exactly what they need to be doing to win football games and stay not just relevant, but very much in the conversation. Not only to be a playoff team, because according to many, it doesn't matter what happens the rest of the way, you're probably in, but you are a contender.
I think you still need one more
I
win.
still think you need one more too, but you're a contender. And what do contenders do? They go out there and they win their football games. You are currently slated as of right now an 18 and a half point favorite against an SEC team at home. That's nuts. But if you look at this team, how crazy is it really?
I'd expect him to cover.
I expect them to cover by, yeah, two, maybe three touchdowns. I mean, I'm looking, I'm well, let me say, I can see them being up by three, maybe even four against this team. You know what this team's capable of. We've seen it. And we know that South Carolina, they've had their moments throughout the
They're
season.
1-6 in conference.
The 1-6, yeah,
I'm good.
and you're at home. Yeah, they
And we
almost.
owe them for that shit show last year.
Well, and they went up and they almost bit Alabama, but I could go into detail about a lot of things that don't really worry me so much about Alabama as time has gone on, other than the fact that they're winning football games. That's exactly what you want to see out of those type of teams if you want to
Emma
compete.
looks good. Ty Simpson looks good. Yay, yee-haw. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares because right now it's A&M. Eyes are on us right now across the nation. People are, whether it's, hey, how far can they go? Or if you are actively rooting against us, it doesn't matter. Your eyes are on A&M. The hate watches are real. Last week, the amount of Longhorns I was seeing on Twitter that went from, oh, potential upset alert to, oh, congratulations, you beat a backup. Like, pick, you can. If you're on one side, stay on that side.
Don't ever come at me with backup quarterback.
I don't want to hear it.
No.
How many years have we had a backup come in at some point because of injury, because of poor play? I mean, just last year, hell, we've seen it happen so many times since we've been in this conference after Johnny left. We saw that too much. Yes, sir, Mr. May.
Can we talk about the fact that Lane Kiffin actually just hates Jimbo and not Texas A&M?
He did advocate for us, and there's that meme of Breaking news. The worst person you know made an excellent point.
And I understand, like, there are underlying tones for him to advocate for A&M being number one. I get that,
Well, it helps Ole Miss, of course.
but the realistic part is, how is he wrong?
Fun fact, did you know since 2012? Since 2012, there have been two teams that have won three ranked road games in their season. In the conference. Do you know who those two teams are?
Us and us.
Us and us. 2012 A&M, 2025 Texas A&M football.
Wicked pizza.
And I don't want to hear any of the arguments about, well, they're not ranked anymore. I'm like, yeah, because we beat them. That's how this works. That's
No,
how ranked wins work.
I saw so many posts and comments on a certain post on X today, and they were like, yeah, but they were number one when we beat them. The most
And
undisputed number one team in the country. And the reality is, this is an absolute, like, I don't want to call it a get right game, but this is a, like, just smoke them, absolute smoke them, give the 12th man a reason to leave early. And I know that's a 2%er thing. I get it. But an 11 a.m. game, kids want to go drink. I get it. Even when they're underage, I'm not specifically talking about my underage daughter. I'm
no,
just saying.
absolutely.
But the reality is, look, this game is absolute blowout. I'll give you my pick now. I think we, I'm talking in the 50s.
I can see it.
If we decide to leave 0-1 on the line, if we decide to pull in second string, both sides of the ball, sure, low 40s, maybe they hit 20 because they hit a trash time touchdown, because we've seen that enough this year.
Oh, yeah.
The backdoor cover crap. But I think this 11 a.m., first of all, always favors
Home team.
the home team. And I get that it'll be noon for them technically in their body clocks, but you're about to walk into a Kyle Field that has a 12th man that hasn't seen football in a month. And by the way, while they haven't been able to see it, at
They've
least
been
in
watching.
person, they haven't lost.
Yep, they've been watching too. They've been excited.
We were in the world of, man, dude, that road stretch, if they can go 2-1, we'll love it. Going to the Missouri game, I was going to be disappointed if we didn't go 3-0 on that road stretch. Now, and again, what we saw at the schedule before the season and what it is now is what it is. But I don't care. And all these people saying, well, like, yeah, who have you beat? Shit, we didn't schedule college.
Everybody we've played, that's who we've beat.
You know who we beat? Notre Dame on the road. All right.
Yep.
Well, it took a last second. Oh, no, sir. Hello, Indiana against a crap Penn State team.
Yeah, don't even get me
By
started on
the way,
that.
fantastic catch.
Oh yeah,
Very.
no. Highlight reels for years.
Yeah. So Marcel needs a better Heisman moment than that. And you know what Marcel's Heisman
You already had
moment
it.
would be? And I'm, oh no. He's got to beat that Indiana catch now.
Well, and you know where I could think of no better place for that to happen than Austin.
Ah,
Could you imagine?
that'd be a pity.
Well, and you know the thing is, looking ahead at this schedule, and I know it's dangerous to be looking ahead, but once again, we're fans, it
Yeah,
doesn't
it's
matter.
dangerous for you that all of the tackles and everything you make in life, it's dangerous for you to. Yeah, no,
Exactly.
we can always look forward. We're fans, man.
Right. It doesn't matter, but looking ahead, right? You take care of your business against South Carolina like we expect you to do. You go out there, you take care of your business.
No.
What's
And
that?
well, and Stanford's a lot. Like, no offense to Stanford. And I know we had the App State shit, but come
They're
on,
a
man.
one-win FCS team, and App State was a group of five team when we played them. I don't want to hear the comparisons. Add nothing on what happened to Michigan. That's
Thank
fine.
you. Thank you. Thank you.
What this Texas game is for A&M,
Putting us, it's planting the flag.
It's closure. It really is closure from what we saw last year. Because the ironic part of this is now, if you look at what's going on in Austin, they're a two-loss team, and they
With
really have,
decommits.
right? They're a two-loss team, and they have three games down the stretch that all have very interesting little flavors to them. Georgia, who they have not beaten. Yeah, it's not the same Georgia team that we've been seeing, but it's still Georgia, and you're in Athens. That's number one. Number two, you host an Arkansas team that a lot of people have just kind of thrown underneath the bus because they have continued to lose football games despite their offense, right?
Last hurrah.
Last hurrah. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain in terms of just going out there and showing up.
And for
Now,
those of you that don't understand, Arkansas hates Texas. This is
yeah.
a massive rivalry. I know we're a week away from it, but
It's a big one
whoa.
for them, especially.
It's hate week.
Right. Then you have to host a what very in all likelihood will be an 11-0 top ranked Texas A&M football team coming to your house. So, all of a sudden, let's say Texas loses that Georgia game or the Arkansas game. I'm going to go ahead and just say they lose the Georgia game, right? Three loss team, but in a very similar position for a playoff berth that we were last year. A lot of people, I mean, we were a three loss team coming into that Texas game, and a lot of people say right now that a three loss Texas team, with their only losses being like the big ones, being Ohio State, who is number one, and A&M, who could very likely be number two or number three at that point, you lose those games, and they're going to say, well, maybe Texas sneaks into the playoff. Maybe they sneak in there. But
Helmet bias. Helmet bias.
helmet bias, absolutely. So what happens? This becomes the flip of the situation of last season in
No,
a lot of ways.
it's literally the exact opposite. Yeah, it's an absolute, like it's a,
That's a
what do you
must-win
call
game in
it?
Austin for Texas.
Photo negative, whatever you
Yeah.
call it.
Yeah. I mean, this very easily could turn into that, assuming they lose one of these next two games. Probably, once again, probably Georgia. But regardless, this
So,
is it gets interesting. It gets way interesting.
I don't want to like super get into the Texas Georgia game because this is not a national kind of podcast. Like, we'll talk about national games, but we don't generally, all right. Texas, Sark and Quinn Ewers and Sark and Arch to an extent excel at the wide screen, right?
Right.
Like just throw it out in the flat and let them do what they do. And we saw Vanderbilt, they were stuck in concrete. Vanderbilt's defense is slow. Like they might be slower than me. That's a massive statement. Georgia has the athletes to go from sideline to sideline.
Yeah.
So then as long as Georgia, I don't think Georgia is championship Georgia. I don't think they're Kirby Georgia.
No, not this season, but that doesn't mean they're not playoff Georgia, you
This
know?
has not seen this year. And they do have enough secondary ability to, well, it's a combination of they have enough safety like ability and talent, and Texas doesn't have the take the top off the defense kind of receivers. So if Texas tries to rely on like the wide screen, dump it off and see what happens, Georgia's going to torch them. And like it could be it like it, this could be a bloodbath in Georgia, in
Could be.
Athens. And I would probably take Texas to lose by shit 15-20 if they try to rely on that. So that's that speaking,
Right.
we should get into our picks.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Yeah, let's look at our picks from last
I think
week.
we had some questions. I think we did.
Yeah, but we typically will save those questions for after the picks. So let's go
That's what
ahead.
I'm saying. Like we had some questions, so let's get into the picks so this doesn't end up a 2-hour podcast.
It's getting
All
pretty
right.
close.
I have pulled even. You went 2-3 last week.
Were my losses?
You lost FSU, Maryland, and UCLA.
Did I pick FSU?
You did.
I could have sworn I picked Clemson. That's okay.
Yeah, well, on the backside, we've already talked about this.
Yeah, I could have sworn I did.
I'll always swear it doesn't count.
That's
So
fine. Keep moving.
we are tied at 32-25 apiece. Let's start with the first one. Clemson at number 15, Louisville. Louisville is a 3.5 point favorite, but Clemson won last week.
Oh, well, we're not even going to go over what our picks were last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. We both got Tech right. Oh, well, yeah, okay, fine.
Was like, yeah, read them off to me so I know what I lost.
So we both got Tech right.
Right.
Which honestly, I picked Tech, but I was a little bleh about
I
that.
wasn't.
Turns out
Tech.
BYU's not. I think BYU's a paper tiger,
Oh, 100%.
paper cougar, or whatever they are.
Whatever.
You picked FSU over Clemson. I picked Clemson.
Okay.
You picked Maryland and Rutgers. This was a butt bowl kind of
Yeah,
thing where
I didn't. That
we're
game
just
doesn't
guessing.
count in my
Yeah,
head.
we're guessing.
Yeah.
We both picked UCLA. We were both wrong.
Yeah.
We both picked the Aggs and we both got them right.
All right, cool. Moving on this
So
week.
that makes you 2-3, and that makes me 4-1.
Yep.
So we'll go back to Clemson. So Clemson's on the road at number 15, Louisville. Louisville is a 3.5 point favorite. This is, for whatever reason, basically a coin toss. For those, again, just a reminder, if you don't gamble, you get 3 points for being at home.
I
So, but
think
3.5 means it's a half point on a neutral field. So, yeah.
Cal's a bump in the road for Louisville. I think they get right back on it with Clemson this week. I'm not really all that worried about Clemson. I think Florida State is absolutely in the doghouse at this point. So
You got Louisville.
I got Louisville.
I am taking Clemson
Okay, go ahead.
because Dabo's got to save his job somehow. All right, so I got number 12 OU at number 4 Alabama. This is a 6.5 point spread. That's not necessarily surprising to me.
No.
And we'll, you know what? We'll alternate just to be nice. I'm taking Bama. I think Bama wins this game. I think OU is. I hate to keep using the phrase. I think OU is a bit of a paper tiger. I can't imagine OU goes into Tuscaloosa and wins this game.
I don't think they win, but they're going to be very competitive. As the thing is, if there's one thing we've learned about Alabama over the course of this season, they have not really blown anybody out outside of
Yeah,
like Wisconsin.
they like to keep things interesting.
It keeps it very interesting. Yeah, you beat Vanderbilt. That's a good win. You beat Missouri on the road, and it took a last minute pick to win that game. You know, but you
But we're
won.
not we're not voting the line though.
No, we're not going off the line. You take care of your business against LSU. It wasn't pretty, but you won. Alabama. They know what's at stake. They know what they're fighting for. Oklahoma's in a bit of desperation mode for a playoff spot. Lord knows
All
they
of the
can.
desperation mode.
Yeah. So I think they're going to overexert themselves. It's going to be Alabama. It's in Tuscaloosa. Roll Tide.
Yeah, maybe in Norman, I would think differently. But even in Norman, I maybe cover the spread kind of thing.
Right.
All right, so I thought this was an interesting line. And again, we know shit about the ACC, but number 14 UVA goes on the road to unranked Duke, and Duke is a 6.5 point favorite against the Hoos,
Well,
who recently were in the college football playoffs.
they were, and then they got spanked by Wake. And I think UConn is not that bad of a football team. If you've gone and looked at them, they're sitting at 7-3, man. UConn's not a bad football team. The line doesn't shock me all that much. I think Duke, I mean, they were very competitive against Georgia Tech throughout most of that game. I would not be shocked at all to see Duke win this game.
See, if me, like 4.5 would be a normal line for me. Like 6.5, like, bro, that's a lot, man.
It's a lot.
You got the Hoos or the Demon, or no, excuse me, not
Blue
Demons.
Devils.
Blue Devils. All right.
Blue Devils. I
Both of us
really.
picked Duke so far. Both of us have Duke. Both of us have Bama. I have Clemson. You have Louisville. So some separation there. Hey, the number 11 Sips are at number 5 UGA, and UGA is a 6.5 point favorite.
Texas has been playing with fire a hot damn minute. And you know what? Good on them from going from being number one to being unranked to crawling all the way back up to 11 because the voters recognize your logo on your helmet. Congratulations.
The better.
That gets put us to a stop this week. Georgia's going to stomp a hole in them.
All right, I got UGA, and I'm going to ask you for your A&M pick.
We already know. Gig them in that
Yeah.
game.
All right. I need a quick.
Questions.
Yeah, questions.
We got a couple of them. But Roy's got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
All right, so I'm done.
We're going to start charging Roy by the minute every time he's out on this podcast,
Look, man,
I
what
get it.
you
You're old and your bladder fills up quicker than mine. I get it.
I'm old, but like, the human bladder is an amazing thing.
It is.
Just saying.
All right. Got two
Holy
questions.
moly.
We got two questions.
Two. All right, let's
Two
go.
questions. One from Garrett Smith. He said, I already got a question for next week. He asked this, I think, on Sunday. He said, since my last two questions were absolute duds, I have a decent one. A lot of us call Mizzou a Yankee school in the SEC, but a lot of the state is Southern. After your show with Carson in Columbia, do you see more of one culture than the other? Both, neither? I'll be honest, having been to Missouri, I will tell you this much. Missouri is much of the South as New Mexico is the South. That is not the South. Missouri is Missouri. It's got flavors of Midwest. You get south into the Ozarks, it gets a little twangy. But the reality is, Columbia itself is just kind of the most middle of the road place I have ever been to in my entire life. That is the most boring school with the most boring traditions. It's boring. You have a tiger mascot. You claim to be the OG originators of the homecoming tradition, which has just largely become whatever for everybody else. Missouri was not very interesting to me. Very, let alone does it have any Southern culture, I think, that rivals anybody else around it. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
But that was a TED Talk. Like, that's a drop mic kind of thing.
Missouri is not the South, and I don't want to hear another word on it.
I'm not going to talk about North, South, whatever. Columbia is very blah.
It is.
Like, it's there. It's not bad. It's not great. There's places to eat, like every other town literally has across the entire United States.
And I'll stress this is not a jab at the people that were at the show that came out and had a good time with us. I think that was fun. But when you get up on stage and you play a show, and the whole point of the show is to go out there and have yourself a good time, and you can't get up for the opener or the headliner, I get it. You lost a football game. Get over it.
And my other thought is, like if you're going to College Station, you fly into Houston or Dallas or Austin, right? Like if you're an opposing team, or if you're rich, you fly into Easterwood, and I get that. If you're Texas, you fly into Austin, what is it, Bergstrom or whatever it's called.
What?
If
Hey,
you,
A&M guy who is the name of the Austin airport.
yeah.
Kind of funny.
You talk about flying into Tuscaloosa, flying into Mississippi State, to Auburn, to Georgia, like all these locations, you go to major airports, and I get what it is. But most of those major airports are in the state. If
Right.
you want to go to a Missouri game, you fly in to St. Louis, maybe.
Kansas City.
Kansas City is probably the better approach.
2 hours away still. It's 2 hour drive.
So is Austin, and hell, DFW is even worse.
Oh yeah.
But like, if you're gonna fly in and have to drive into a college game town, and then the atmosphere is kind of dooky, you're like, man, we're going to the Missouri game. Can't wait to stay in St. Louis. Like, man, dude, Vanderbilt game. Can't wait to be in Nashville.
It's a
In fact,
destination.
like that wasn't even. No, that was a hell, that was a bowl game.
Well, Nashville is the South. I mean,
It's
Tennessee
just,
is Southern.
I'm not gonna like argue this North and South crap with Missouri. Missouri just kind of is what it is.
It's
Like,
there.
it's its own thing. And I think you made it very clear, like, not very clear. I think you made a perfect, like, comparison. New Mexico is just kind of New Mexico. Like, it
Right.
always will be. And it's not the Midwest. It's not the West Coast. It's just New Mexico has its own identity. Missouri has its own identity. The difference between the two is Missouri's identity kind of sucks. Like, seriously, like, I've been to St. Louis. I've been there. Like, there's some cool things to do. The arches, obviously, right? Obviously. But once you see it, it's kind of like when you go to places that are really popular for their like physical. Look, I lived in DC for 4 years. Once you see the Washington Monument once, it looks the same every other time you see it, right? And New Mexico is unique in the sense that, the beautiful landscape, you can spend like you could probably spend half a year of weekends going to go see different things. Missouri is like, hey, it's St. Louis, and then
I mean, there's a bunch of caves. You can go down to Lake of the Ozarks. I will say, I enjoyed Lake of the Ozarks. That was pretty neat. We enjoyed chilling out
Look,
down there. There's some, there's.
because it feels like it's melting into Arkansas, and Arkansas is a beautiful state.
It is. So, I mean, Missouri is, I think the perfect analogy from Missouri goes back to The Simpsons, in particular, Grandpa. Your U.S. flag only has 49 states. Well, I'll be deep in the cold ground before I recognize Missouri.
I'll give you another analogy, and it's a Wayne's World one. Hi, welcome to the amazing state of Delaware. Hi, I'm
Hi.
in Delaware. Like, that's kind of what Missouri reminds me of. And I know, and I'm sure there's some beautiful parts of Missouri. And I'm not
There
trying
are.
to trash on the entire state, but the reality is the prettiest parts of Missouri are closer to Arkansas.
They are. So
And
to
you can
that,
get shot in St. Louis like a mother effer.
yeah, just so kind of going off of the primary question, Missouri's Missouri. It's not the Deep South. It has more in line with what I would consider to be a bit of Midwest than I would say Southern culture, but that's not really all that's it, Missouri's Missouri
It's Midwest-ish.
ish. I'm gonna leave it
Yeah,
there.
I think that's fair. Yeah, they're like
Midwest ish.
Midwest-ish.
Well, it's just like I don't
And
consider them.
to all the Missourians out there,
No.
like your identity should actually be your own state. You're listening to, like, if there's anybody for whatever reason, I can't imagine this, but anybody from Missouri, like born and raised in Missouri, is gonna like complain about this. I get it, man. Texans are Texans. That's it. Like, we're Texans. Like, we're
It's
American. But we're Texans, and so we love our state. So if your show me state is that good, then just
show
show
me.
me. But in the meantime, there's nothing wrong with being proud of being from Missouri. It's just probably the most beautiful country, as far as like if you're a hiker or you like to fish, you're close to Arkansas. If you really like corn in the Midwest,
Go
then
north.
you're further the north side of Missouri.
But
And you conveniently, and you can correct me on this, conveniently avoid Tornado Alley.
yeah, no.
Oh, yeah.
St. Louis has one of the strongest tornadoes that's ever hit the United States. Joplin, Missouri was the last EF5
Oh, I
that
forgot
killed
about the
over
Joplin.
160 people.
I did forget about the Joplin one.
Yeah,
That's
so Missouri still gets the tornado action. It still gets the crappy weather. It's just it's Missouri's Missouri. It's there.
For better or worse.
It's a filler state in the United States. Moving on.
Missourians? Is that what you call them? Missourians?
Missourians, I guess.
I don't know. God
Anyway,
bless y'all.
love y'all. Okay. David Madren had a question for us on Twitter. He
Oh,
asked,
I saw this one.
is no news good news in relation to the Elko and stuff getting paid and extended? At the end of this season, if Elko gets through the regular season and wins the SEC championship, he's going to get paid $11.5 million this year. That's before the playoff.
But I think he's talking specifically to extensions. Like, please tell me Elko's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
So my thought is, and I'll kind of echo. I mean, I know Billy said this, and Billy has a lot more connections inside the program than I do. They're working on it. It'll get done.
Yeah, as it
I
should.
happy wife, happy life. Michelle Elko really loves it here, and I
Oh, yeah.
think. If you look back at the interviews where Mike Elko talks about his history and like Stony Brook and all this other fun stuff, that's a miserable way to go through life as a professional. But he's finally found a spot where he doesn't have to be miserable. In fact, by the way, he can build his own legacy. And every high-level Division I football coach or basketball, or baseball, they operate differently than you and I do. They have an ego that tells them that they want to build a dynasty to be the dude that did that. And I don't say it as a in a bad way. Like, they're not egotistically like crappy, but there's a need and desire to succeed at the highest level. And I'm not saying that We've seen it with Saban. Like, that doesn't mean you go to the NFL. It means you establish a program and you put your name on it. You win championships and you get a statue built. That's the ego I'm talking about. And I think that's what Mike Elko has here. And I also think that Texas A&M isn't stupid enough to let him go.
Let's look at Nick Saban for a minute. Where did he play his college ball? Do you remember? Kent State. He's a flash.
Oh, that's right, Kent State.
Okay,
Damn it.
is it
Damn
Kent
it, I knew.
State? Kent State, right? Why didn't he go to Kent State? That's where he's from.
Because he wants to be great.
Yeah, well, why didn't he hang out in, West Virginia where he's originally from? He goes to Alabama, right? After being at LSU, after being at Michigan State, and after having a little tidbit up in the big leagues, came back down to college, found where he could establish himself, slow start, and then proceeds to blitz and become one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach in the history of college football, in terms of championship pedigree, in terms of being an excellent coach. He's not from Alabama. He had no ties to Alabama before he gets hired there.
Wasn't like Bear Bryant, mama coming him home, calling him
Right.
home.
Yeah. There was an example of that, sure. In the modern game, you don't necessarily have to see that. I mean, you bring in Mike Elko, a guy who has established a relationship in this town, gets hired on, gets a great starting contract.
Hold on, go back a step. Lest you forget what he did at Duke.
Oh, yeah, he did excellent work at Duke after coming back. He proved
At
himself
a
as a pedigree.
basketball school.
Yeah, proved himself to be a pretty solid guy and has established Duke as a place that could be solid at football. That's why they're still in conversations. They're not ranked right now, but
We
they could very easily beat a ranked Virginia team.
just both picked Duke to be the 14th ranked team in the nation.
Exactly. And that's largely due to the fact that he was there.
And it's not crazy for us to make that pick.
It's not Duke. Duke has improved their football quality of life, and that a good chunk of that is thanks to Mike Elko.
New bar.
New bar has been set, and
New bar.
him coming here has also established that bar. Why on earth, after being here for two seasons, would you want to uproot yourself to go try and reestablish that somewhere else? That's stupid. Even if the money comes crying at you, the thing is, A&M's going to do their job to make sure that this guy sticks around. It's, his agent's going to fight tooth and nail to get him paid however much he can get paid. But why would he leave here?
I don't think it's a money thing for Mike Elko because he's
No.
already literally the elite level of money, right? So what, I mean, it's easy for me to sit here having none of the millions, but what's a
Yeah.
couple extra millions, right? The reality is he has the opportunity. And so, and I talked about this, I don't know if we talked about this last week or I was talking with a friend of mine. Nick Saban went to the NFL and failed.
Yeah, came
And you know
back to
what Nick
college.
Saban realized? He couldn't let that be his reputation. Oh,
No.
we were talking about Brian Kelly. So he
Brian
went
Kelly.
back, and I wish there was cell phones with recording crap back in the day. I said this, and you can believe me or not, but I swear to crap, I said we need to back up the Brinks trucks to get Saban out of Michigan State. I said it, and I said it. We weren't doing the podcast. Nobody listened to me. Nobody cared. But I saw the talent, but it's talent and ego. And the ego is what drives them to be great. It's not, and what's weird is like they don't want everybody kissing their butts. They don't. They have, it's a different mind. The greatest coaches in sports have a mindset that they want to be remembered as great. They don't want to be remembered as the highest paid. They
A
want to be
great coach.
remembered as being great and establishing a dynasty or a legacy, between those two. Elko has the opportunity to do it. I'm getting fired up here. Elko has the opportunity to do it here. And that's why I think, despite all of our best efforts as Aggies, Regents, and the board and everything else of screwing everything up on a regular basis, I think they get this one right. He stays here and buckle your seatbelt.
It's a new world. I liked what
No.
I'm going to make another reference to Josh Pate here, but something he was saying about this Texas A&M football team on the reaction show. A lot of people say A&M cannot win a national title.
Cannot and have not.
Cannot and have not. Everything's here. We've talked about it. Everybody has said A&M's like the sleeping giant of a football program. I mean, everything's there. You've got the facilities, you've got the recruiting base, you've got location. I
And
mean,
we're 0-2 on the last ones because they had the facilities.
I mean, they did have the facilities for Jimbo. They had great facilities by the end of Sumlin's tenure. I mean, A&M at that stage was very much on the cutting edge of being a great football program, but you didn't have the right guy at the helm leading the charge. Unfortunately, it sucks, and you do have to learn those lessons in the worst possible way because you have to pay guys to not coach. But what you have now done is you brought in what has largely shown in the first two seasons. He very well is the right guy. So why don't you just go ahead and lock that one in and start prepping for the future? Because you've established Texas A&M not just as a very strong and competitive SEC team, but a championship caliber SEC team.
And
And that's awesome.
but this is where I'll say, I think they're doing it.
Yeah.
We're not privy to these conversations. And
Yeah.
quite frankly, we shouldn't be privy to these conversations. And no offense to John Sharp, I think he did a lot of great things for Texas A&M, but he should never have been a part of the athletic part. A chancellor needs to be a chancellor. That's his job. Like,
Right.
no offense. And I know that there are ways that you can affect athletic programs when it comes to conference realignment. We saw it even though Dr. Lofton was just the president, the president works directly with the chancellor. He went on to be chancellor of Missouri, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, I believe Trev Alberts is the right guy. And if the new president comes in and wants a new athletic director, then we need to Bob Stoops that president or that chancellor.
Alberts has done some great things in the South Act department, and
The alignment within the athletic department. That has been my biggest thing. And I know that doesn't always lead to success, but Jamie Morrison talked about it. Mike Elko's talked about it. Michael Early. They all talk about all supporting each other. Joni Taylor, Bucky, right? Bucky Ball.
everybody's supporting each other across the
Everybody's
athletic.
supporting each other. And it's at a level that's completely insane. And that's why I think they're sustainable. Success on the horizon, you just gotta tell the BAS girl to go away.
You have to at this point because A&M is moving in the right direction. In the new NIL era, the way things have kind of shook out, A&M has emerged as a team that people need to be paying attention to. And they are.
Did we answer David's question? The rabbit trails we go bouncing down.
No news is good news. I think it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think no news is good news. I think A&M is getting it done behind the scenes.
Right.
They would be completely insane to let Elko walk away, and I
And
don't
there'll
care.
be plenty of
Everybody's like,
coaches that are
but
going
he
to try
went
to
to
throw it
Penn.
in.
They're
Right.
like, oh, he went to Penn. I'm like, yeah.
That's not Penn State, first and foremost.
That's
Let's
two
trust that.
completely different worlds.
Yeah. I mean, Penn is a freaking,
It's Ivy League school.
it's an Ivy League school. Nothing to do with the Big Ten at all. Big Ten style football versus SEC style football.
And he's a Jersey boy, right?
Yeah. Which
So
he is he
why
going to
does
go to
he care about
Rutgers?
the state of Pennsylvania? I've driven through that state more times than I care to talk about. Yeah, just look. I
You're here.
understand the question. I do, David. I
Yeah.
do. Absolutely. I think no news. I will absolutely tell you. I think no news is good news. I think we're good on the Mike Elko front. If not, there will be regions that might get physically pulled out of their homes. All right. So, like, I think we're good. Like, no news is good news. They're working on it. I think they're going to come to a conclusion. And I think, I know they'll come to a conclusion. He'll get a raise, but the incentives will still be there. So, if he can continue this kind of success year after year, he might make like a metric crap ton of money
Right.
more than just his guaranteed. So, yeah, I believe in it, David. Absolutely. No news is absolutely good news.
Yeah, we're gonna be just fine on that front. It's about where we're at today. It was a long episode. It was always going to be with it being Veterans Day and all this other fun stuff. So, want to
What?
say,
9-0. 9-0.
Aggies are 9-0. We want to thank all of our veterans one more time. Appreciate all of you and your sacrifices for our country with your families and all Americans around the world that are continuing to serve. Thank you so much for your service and continue to stay safe out there. Bonham Trophy Week, baby. It is time to get a little revenge on South Carolina.
Yeah, you can take the trophy and melt it down, but the revenge is important.
Their revenge is very important.
That
Let's get out.
was the start of the downfall last week or last year. So after 3 road games in 4 weeks, 12th man is going to be insane. I think I said it earlier somewhere on social media. Don't be surprised if Samford is sold out.
Yeah, I mean it already is on the website, so that's good to see. So be sure to follow us on our socials. That's going to be Rob the Slapper on both X and Instagram, Roy May 15 on X, Roy May Jr. on Instagram. Be sure to follow
One
that out.
day I will, I one day they will be the same.
So
Today is
yeah.
not that day, but one day.
He's going to work on it. Be sure to follow the Red Ass Podcast as well. Be sure to follow us on YouTube. Give us a like, give us a comment, subscribe, please. Hit that little bell so you know when we're uploading. It's at this stage, it's on Tuesdays. It's a great day for us to get it done. There'll be plenty of good stuff coming up here in the future. I'm excited about it. One final question to you, Roy, before we
Oh.
kick you off. Do you think A&M jumps Indiana in the polls this week, or do we have to wait for Indiana to lose?
That's a tough one. My thought is that if we can put 50 up on South Carolina and keep them below 20, then we do.
Oh man, I'm saying tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah, because
No.
play, because yeah, because the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that because I think the playoff committee is going to be like, yeah, but they still won, and I'm like, yeah, that's
Hey, you know
fair.
what? You know what's weird? There's been so much social media traction from a lot of people. And by the way, whoever thought we'd like what Lane Kiffin had to say? He's not wrong, though.
No.
I could see us jump Indiana, but the reality is the difference between 2 and 3 is what's on the backside of the bracket.
Sure.
I think we deserve to be 2. Quite frankly, I think we deserve to be number one in the country. But I would like to see us jump 2 because Indiana eked out a win, and I don't care how Heisman moment of a pass that was. It
Right.
was against a shit Penn State team. Who's on the road, though? Nope. We just went 3 straight on the road. We did what we did in Notre Dame. Negatory, good buddy. We should be number 2.
We should be. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening in on the Red Ass Podcast today. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take
Beat the
care.
hell out of an early kickoff.
Beat the hell out of the early kickoff. Beat the hell out of South Carolina. Gig 'em. We'll see you guys same time next week.